from the Word today pertaining to baptism, but something that everyone needs to hear. Things that apply to everybody's life. If you're a believer, even if you're an unbeliever, you need to hear because within the message is the whole purpose of life. Within the message is the whole purpose as to why we're here. We're not here to be religious. I don't know about you, but religion, really a religious mindset's what put Jesus on the cross to begin with. Isn't that right? I mean, the religious leaders of his day are really the ones that were inspired in a negative influence or with a negative influence in order that he went to the cross and died. And so religion has always been the greatest enemy of true Bible Christianity. And so we want to deal with some things today, build your faith. For those that are being baptized today, it's going to build their faith in order to recognize in a greater way what exactly they're doing as they are baptized in water today. Because everything we do, we don't want to do, again, because it's a ritual. We want to do it by faith. When we act out the Word of God, when we do what the Word says, do by faith, then great blessing takes place. Amen. Amen. And so I want to share a few things with you. The title of the message I want to bring to you is entitled this, Living a Baptized Life. Living a baptized life. Now, this would apply, as I said, to every single believer. Whether you've been water baptized or not, this applies to every single believer. And before it's all said and done, I believe that you're going to see why. And so living a baptized life. Every Christian should be living a baptized life. This is not a one-time thing. When you're baptized in water. This is something for the rest of our lives. And it really is symbolic and representative of another baptism that should have affected your life in a permanent way. And we'll deal with that because there's more than one baptism in the Word of God. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, if you have a Bible with you, to the book of Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, I'm going to start reading at verse 1. Are you there? I don't hear many pages flipping. You have a Bible with you? If you're a Christian, bring a Bible. You know why? Because this is a Bible church. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, I'll read. It says this, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or on to maturity. Growing up. How many of you know God wants us to grow up? And I'm talking about spiritually growing up. That we are to go on to perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation. Notice foundation. Every house, as far as its strength is concerned, is dependent in a great way upon how strong its foundation is. As the foundation goes, so goes the house or the building. Is that not right? And so as our foundation goes as believers, so goes the rest of our Christian life. It says, not laying again the foundation. Then he mentions what those principles are, those foundational principles. Number one is repentance from dead works. Number two is of faith toward God. Then in verse 2, the first thing mentioned is the doctrine of baptisms, and that's in the plural. And so if there's more than one baptism, when we hear the word baptism, usually we think of water baptism. That's all we think of. Many of us may think of something other than what we're going to experience today. We're going to think of being sprinkled or being dipped or whatever, being poured on. And whatever your tradition is, that's what you usually think of when you hear the word baptism having to do and relating to water in one way or another. Isn't that right? But according to this and other places in the Bible, there's more than one kind of baptism. There is the doctrine or the teaching of baptisms in the plural, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And so we're going to talk about two kinds of baptism this morning. And there's actually about three within the Word of God for the New Testament, but we're going to talk about two kinds. Now, before we do, I want to talk to you about what you will not see today. For those of you that may be wondering, one of the things that you're not going to see today, I guess I need to put these on. One of the things that you're not going to see today is you're not going to see sprinkling or pouring of water in this idea or in this thing that we do call baptism. All right, how about you? I was sprinkled when I was a kid. How about you? Amen? All right, and the reason why is because of what the meaning of the word baptized is. And if you look up on the big screen, let's look for afresh. For those of you that may know it, just bear with me. The word baptized originally meant to dip, to plunge, to immerse, to submerge. The entire meaning of baptism is lost if the person does not go all the way under and come up out of the water. If it isn't done that way, it isn't biblical baptism. And so one thing about water baptism, biblically, it takes some humility, doesn't it? It takes a dropping of pride, takes away the pride, and all those various things. If you have a Bible, look at Acts chapter 8. Let's read that for a couple of minutes, if you don't mind. Acts the 8th chapter. Living a baptized life. Acts chapter 8. It says, beginning with verse 26. I put 35. We're going to just start a little bit higher up here. Verse 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down to Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. And he arose and went," Philip did, "and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said," that's the Holy Spirit, "said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and to sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation," this of course is prophetic about the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who was to come. "In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will desire his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip, verse 35, opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. Everybody say water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart," if you believe with all your heart. Now, we talked about this, I believe, last week, this idea of believing. Biblical believing means a change. Biblical believing means that you act as though it's so. Biblical believing is not, in fact, this was Thursday night. Biblical believing is not just mentally agreeing and never having it change your life. I'll tell you, most Americans will tell you, "I believe Jesus is the Son of God," but if it hasn't changed their life, they're not going to heaven. It's got to be personal. It's got to be with all their heart, not just with their head. Isn't that right? And so it says in this, it says, Philip says to him, "If you believe with all your hearts." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, down into the water. And he baptized him. Now when they came up, notice he came up. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. I want to make a special note of the fact that in all of this experience, the Spirit of the living God was involved in it. This wasn't a human initiation. This wasn't a human thing to carry out. This was something ordained by and carried out by the Spirit of the living God. Amen? We believe whenever we baptize someone in water that the Holy Spirit is moving and working in that person's life. Amen? Amen. Now, going on with some of the things that I want to say to you, go with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 6. If you have a Bible, we're going to be going to a lot of scriptures. If you want to just listen, then just listen. But it's always good to see it in your Bible if you can. Look at the next frame, if you don't mind. And if your child is number 102-01, your child needs you. Amen. All right, spiritual baptism. Everybody say spiritual baptism. Now, spiritual baptism is not water baptism in and of itself, but spiritual baptism is something that you're going to see in a few moments. Some of you are aware of this, but water baptism is an outward expression of something that already has happened inside of you when you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. When we go back to that definition of baptism, meaning to submerge, to immerse, to dip, to plunge. How many of you know that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're not talking about water baptism, but when you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, which is what you have to do in order to even qualify for water baptism, but when you did, you were immersed into Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a spiritual happening that took place. Something changed on the inside of you. And that's what we refer to as being spiritually baptized. You must be spiritually baptized into Christ before you're ever water baptized at all. Is everybody hearing me here today? All right. Now, for proof of that, look at Romans chapter 6, if you're there. And beginning with verse 3. It says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were, it says, baptized into. Now remember, we use this word baptized messes people up if we're not careful. But let's use it with the translation of that word. If any man or if anyone is immersed into Jesus Christ. We could even use the term placed into. If anyone has been placed into Jesus Christ. How many of you here have been placed into Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible says you are if you've received Jesus as Lord and Savior. That means you've been placed into the body of Christ or placed into Christ Jesus. And water baptism is an outward expression of something that already happened when you made Him the Lord of your life. You were placed into Christ. You were immersed into Christ. You were submerged into Christ. You became joined to Him, did you not, spiritually? All right? And so going on with this, he says this, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized, immersed, submerged, placed into Christ Jesus, were baptized, submerged, immersed, placed into His death? You were placed into His death when you were placed into Christ Jesus. I'll explain that more in a minute. Verse 4 says, therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Now we're going to stop there for a moment. My point is this. Let's go up to the next frame. We read Romans 6, 1 through 5. What happened when you were baptized into Christ? And I'm not talking, again, about water baptism. I know people get confused. This word baptism, we're not talking about water baptism. We're talking about what water baptism represents. We're talking about what happened in your heart beforehand. Amen? Amen. So what happened when you were baptized into Christ? Number one, the old you was crucified and buried. Now notice in verse 6 of Romans 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man. Now ladies, that's not talking about your husband, your old man. It's talking about the old you. It says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. All right, so the old you was crucified and buried. I want you to think about that. When you accepted Christ, when you therefore were immersed and submerged and placed into Christ Jesus, when you exercised faith in what He did for you on that cross and in His resurrection, the Bible says that the old you was crucified and buried. Go to the next frame if you would. What did the old you look like? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Some of you are kind of wincing right now. You don't want to look at what the old man looked like. But let's just look at what the Bible says the old man looks like. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody was involved with all of these things. But it's in general what the old person before knowing Christ looked like and was characterized by. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, notice now, and we'll begin reading here at verse 17. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Are you there? It says this, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." Now, notice now, he begins to describe the way the Gentiles were non-believers, all right? Non-Jewish non-believers. And so the rest of the Gentiles walk, notice, in the futility of their mind. That's one of the ways that you looked when you were old. The old you, the old self, was walking in futility of mind. That means depravity of mind. That means that before you knew Christ, you didn't think right. How many of you can say amen? Amen. Thank you. All right, in the futility of their mind. Now, I know we're still getting our minds renewed, and there's still times we don't think right. But back then, we were bound to think wrong because we were bound to that old nature, that old person. It says in addition to that, verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. These are all, again, characteristics of the old person, the old you and the old me, because of the ignorance that is in them. So we've got ignorance because of the blindness of their hearts. See, people that don't know Christ, their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God or separated from God's life. They don't have God's life. Those that don't know Christ are ignorant, aren't they? And we don't look down on them because we were ignorant once too, aren't we? Those that don't know Christ have blindness in their heart, their past feeling. They've given themselves over to lewdness in many respects, not necessarily everybody. But again, this is a general characteristic. These are general characteristics of the old person before knowing Christ. To work all uncleanness with greediness. Amen. The old man's greedy. The old person, the old you, the old me is greedy. Then it goes on in verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct. So summing it up, we could say the old you is that former conduct that was contrary to the life of God and the life of Christ in you. Amen? Whatever that former conduct was. It says put off the former conduct, the old man, the old you, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And so we see deceitful lust, we see corruption, we see former conduct. These are all characteristics of the old you. Find you somewhere in those characteristics, the old you. Amen? Thank you for your enthusiasm. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. What did the old you look like? Remember though, remember, we're looking at what the old you and the old me looked like. But remember, the old you and the old me has been crucified and buried with Christ. Colossians chapter 3, it says this, begin with verse 5. Colossians 3, 5, it says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. Then he goes on, fornication, uncleanness, it says put them to death. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, that means evil passions, evil desires and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Notice that's past tense. We once walked, but no longer are we to. That's why, again, we're to live the baptized life. Living the baptized life means, in part, we'll get to more, but living the baptized life means we're living a life where we consider the old us having been crucified and buried with Him. Let's not let it get up its ugly head again. Amen? All right. This is better preaching than you look at this. All right. He goes on and he says in this, in verse 8, but now, you yourselves are to put off all these. These are characteristics of the old you, the old me. To put off from us what? To put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Those are all old you and me. Those are all old man characteristics. That old man was crucified and buried with Christ. Keep him down there. You hear what I'm saying? Keep him down there. Legally, you have a right to take authority over all these things. Amen? All right. Now, as it goes on with this, it says in verse 9, do not lie to one another. The old you, the old me are liars. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds. And then he goes on and talks about what we're to put on, putting on the new man. All right? Now, going on from this, all right? And so, what happened when we were baptized into Jesus Christ? The old us, the old me, the old you was crucified and buried with Him. We need to always consider that. In fact, in Romans 6, it goes on. We won't turn back to that, but he says, reckon ye yourselves, or consider yourselves, or make your mind stay on the fact that those old ways are dead. You have power over that now. You didn't before. Amen? All right. So, next frame. Say it with me. Say this together with me. All of these things are dead and buried in my life because the old me has been crucified and buried with Christ. Now, you can put whatever you want. You can say this, lying is dead and buried in my life. You can say fornication is dead and buried in my life. Lust is dead and buried in my life. Anger, wrath. We could even go into the areas like depression and fear, because those are all things of the old man as well. Those things are dead and buried in my life because I was crucified and buried with Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you getting anything out of this? Amen. And so going on with this. Colossians chapter 2. Let's go there if you don't mind. Just real quickly. Colossians chapter 2. You're right close there anyway. Colossians chapter 2 verses 11 and 12. Colossians 2, 11 and 12, it says this, in Him is referring to Christ, and often over and over again in the New Testament, the Scripture talks about in Him, in Christ, through Him, through Christ, etc. It says, in Him, in Christ, you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. That's talking about a spiritual circumcision. The circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Notice, no, going on with that verse 12, buried with Him. There it is again. Buried with Him in baptism, in which you were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. The whole point of that is this. When you think about natural circumcision, we know that that is the cutting away of flesh. What is spiritual circumcision? It is the cutting away or the disabling of the power of the flesh. Flesh in this context means the power of sin in your life. Flesh is more than just what we think of in the natural. Flesh in the Bible, in the New Testament, talks about the works of the flesh. In Galatians 5, beginning with verse 19, it says, the works of the flesh are these, adultery, fornication. It goes on and says, anger, jealousies, envying, strife. All these works of the flesh. Flesh refers to the human nature apart from God. And so our human nature is part of the flesh, but yet it says that we have received a spiritual circumcision where the power of the flesh has been cut off when we came to Christ. Yeah. Say, I died. Say, I was buried. Amen. All those things are dead and buried. And let's remember that and make sure that they don't raise up their ugly head. Can you say amen one more time? Amen. All right. Now, let's look at another thing. Let's look at the next slide. We might skip some things. What happened, we said, when you were baptized into Christ? Number one, the old you was crucified and buried. Number two, you were raised to a new life. Everybody say new life. If you don't mind going back there to Romans chapter 6, and you know, I'm not going to take long here. We got 11 folks that we're going to baptize in water, but I need to build your faith, and we need to understand what we're talking about here. We don't want to just do something again out of ritual or tradition. In Romans chapter 6 again, notice it says in verse 4. Romans 6, 4 says, therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In newness of life. And so we, not only did the old us die and was buried with Christ, but now you and I have been raised up with a new life. And in other scriptures, that new life is called the new man or the new you. Say, there's a new me now. When you accepted Christ, the old you died and was buried, and a new you rose up spiritually because the Holy Spirit regenerated you and made you what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen? Say, I'm a new creation. If you've accepted Christ, you are a new creation. And so in this baptism into Christ, this spiritual baptism, these two things have taken place. The old you is gone, and there's a new you risen up with the power and the Spirit of Christ. Amen? Well, let's go to the next frame. What does the new you look like? Are you ready for this? Three of you are. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right? Look at Ephesians 4 real quick. Ephesians 4. What does the new you look like? You know, we don't want to focus on the negative. We want to focus on the positive, because the positive, being by the Spirit of God and what God's done in us, is more powerful than the negative. It says in Ephesians 4, we were there, but we're looking back again because we want to look at some other things with this. Ephesians 4, it says this in verse 24. Are you ready? Ephesians 4, 24, and that you put on the new man or the new you, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And so first of all, the new you is holy and the new you is righteous in God's sight. Amen? Say, I am holy. That's hard to say, isn't it? You might stutter just a little bit there, but that's what the Bible says, the new you. Now, I think I have it on the frame. Let's look up here for a minute. Created after God. Notice how the Amplified says it. And put on the new nature. You have a new nature now. When you were immersed into Christ, placed into Christ, the old you was killed and buried, and now there's a new nature in you. Notice, put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, Godlike, in true righteousness and holiness. And so, on the inside of you is the nature of your heavenly Father. You know, naturally speaking, we take on characteristics of our human father. You may look more like your mother or you may not, but all of us have characteristics of our human father one way or the other. It may be subtle or it may be obvious, whatever the case may be. But you know what? Spiritually speaking, we all as believers have characteristics of our heavenly father. We have his new nature created spiritually in the image of Almighty God. And water baptism is in part a celebration that the old you died and was buried, and a celebration that you're raised up. And as you come out of that water, celebrate it, that you're raised up to a new life. But it doesn't end there, does it? Because we're to live a baptized life. Live a baptized life. Now, notice now then, some of the things, we won't go to Colossians 3. You can look that up, but that was the other passage, Colossians 3, 1 through 3. But notice now then, the new you looks like it's created in God's image. The new you is righteous or in right standing with God. The new you is holy because Christ has made you holy. From Colossians 3, we find out that the new you, the new me, is tender-hearted, merciful. The new you or me is kind, humble, meek, forbearing. That means you put up with other people. Praise God. Amen? The new you is forgiving. The new you is loving with the love of God. The Bible says the love of God's been poured into our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so say it with me, if you will. Next frame, it says, let's say it together. The new me looks just like my Father. I'm created after Him in righteousness and holiness. The new me is merciful, kind, humble, meek, forbearing, forgiving, and full of the love that God has. I have been raised to a new life in Christ. Amen. This is what the Bible says about you when you come to Christ. You may say, well, you know, I see that in the Word, but you know what? I don't feel that. I don't care whether you feel it. Faith says I stand on what the Scripture says. And see, spiritual growth is the process where what God has made you inwardly comes progressively outwardly. And you know what? Water baptism is a step toward that. Because you know there's a dynamic with water baptism. Just by this step of obedience, there's a dynamic to it. You are appropriating. Go to the next frame. Water baptism is physically appropriating what has already been accomplished in spiritual baptism. Let's define this idea of appropriating. It's a little blind to us. The word appropriate in this context means to take possession of or to make one's own. Think about that. As you are water baptized today, one of the things that you're doing, and I encourage you to use your faith in doing, is that you are taking as your own. You are possessing as yours the fact that the old you died, and you, there's a new you on the inside. You are saying, I take as my own that I am free from anger. I am free from sin. I'm free from the power of the flesh. I'm leaving it all behind in this tank, if you will. And I'm raising up. And when I'm raising up, I am taking as my own the love of God. I'm taking as my own kindness and mercy. I'm taking as my own the nature of my Heavenly Father. You hear what I'm saying? It's an exercise of faith. The Bible says it's already yours, but this act of faith in celebrating what God says is already yours, and I speak to all of us here today. Some need to be water baptized yet. Others of you have been, but you need a refresher as to the fact that you're a new person, and there's a new life in you, and by faith you live that out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so this is a powerful, powerful experience. I'm going to ask Lori Teller to go get the kids, if you would. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 3. I'm about ready to wind down here. Matthew chapter 3. What else should we expect when we're baptized in water? What else should we expect when we're baptized in water? Let's look at Jesus being baptized. In Matthew 3, begin with verse 16. Matthew 3, begin with verse 16. It says, when he had been baptized. Well, let's start with 15. Is that all right? Verse 15 of Matthew 3. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now. He's speaking to John the Baptist. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, that's Jesus, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Now notice now. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Praise God. There are three things that we notice that Jesus experienced when he was baptized in water. I believe in a different way, but in a similar way in some aspects, we are to expect the same. It says the heavens opened. You know, Jesus said, I have the reference, you can write it down, John 14, verse 23. He said that when we obey His commands, that He and His Father will reveal themselves or manifest themselves to us. I believe that heaven opens for those that are baptized in water by faith. I believe heaven opens in that they get a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ. Not that they have a vision of Jesus, literally, but something about Jesus becomes more real. Jesus begins to open our eyes. An act of obedience, whether it's in water baptism or anything else, has with it and carries with it blessing. Amen? Because we're not just hearers, but we're doers of the Word. And those that are hearers and doers of the Word are blessed in their work. Amen? And so I believe there's going to be an open heaven for those that are baptized in water by faith. There's going to be an opening of our understanding like never before. Why? Because this is called, as we read in Hebrews 6, a foundational principle. How many of you know, unless you begin to get an understanding of a foundational principle, you can't build on from that. Until you know addition and subtraction, you'll never know trigonometry. Amen. This is a foundational thing. And by faith, it'll open up your eyes to more truths from the Word of God. Amen? That act of obedience, that act of faith. Also, we see another part of this that Jesus experienced, a Holy Spirit experience. It says the Spirit descended on Jesus. I believe that we all should expect a Holy Spirit experience when we're baptized in water. I've known of people that have come up out of the water speaking in other tongues, that spiritual language. I've known of people coming up out of the water and they really did get set free from a bondage. I believe that's the working of the Holy Spirit when we do it by faith. Amen? And so a Holy Spirit experience. Jesus had it. And we're following His example in being water baptized. We should expect it and put our faith out for that. Amen? And then finally, the third thing Jesus had was a sense of the Father's pleasure. It says the Father spoke from heaven and He said this. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." We ought to have a sense when we're baptized in water, knowing that we're obeying God, obeying His Word. We should have a sense that the Father God, our Heavenly Father, is pleased with this act of faith. Amen? Amen. I'd like to ask the worship team to come. Hallelujah. We're going to just worship God for a minute. I'm going to get on this baptismal robe because it helps me supposedly not get so wet, supposedly. Amen. And so we're going to just prepare our hearts. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank You. We thank You, Father God, that the old me and the old believer, all of us, Father God, have been crucified and buried with Jesus Christ. All those old things are gone. All things have passed away. And all things have become new according to Your Word. And Father God, we thank You that new life is ours. That in that new life, we're created in the image of God. In that new life, we have the love of God, tender mercies. We have the ability to be kind. We have the ability to be Christ-like in a supernatural way. And Father God, I just pray that these truths would become a reality to all of us and to everyone being baptized today. I pray these truths would become very real and that this would be a life-changing experience, Father, as we celebrate what's already happened on the inside of those here being baptized. Father, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
I will never be the same again. Never return my focus. I will love the path.
Thanks, Andy.
I will run towards me. And I will never.
Does not have a towel.
I have some extras. God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Start with you guys first. Praise the Lord. I usually, and this is just my own way of doing it, I usually start with the kids first. And so I'm going to give all of you an opportunity to say something if you want to. If you don't want to, that's all right. But I like to at least give that opportunity. And so, Adriana, I'd like to start with you. Is that all right? Would you like to say anything first? I didn't think you would. But if you want to go right over here. I just want to tell you, this water is freezing. No, I'm kidding. This water is hot. Hotter than normal. But that's better than freezing, isn't it, Adriana? Okay. You come right down here, and then you turn around and sit down right there. Okay? Now, I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. Okay? And if you believe that prayer, we got some feedback here. So if you believe this prayer, you just say this with me, okay? God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. I confess him as Lord. I thank him that he died for my sin and he's risen from the dead. And from this day forward, I will live for him. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now if you hold your nose with one hand, hold your wrist with the other one. Okay? All right. Adriana, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, and raised to newness of life. Is that too hot? Is it too hot? Corey, you're next. All right? Was that too hot, Adriana? No? We can add some cold water. She is. She knows. Okay, be careful now. I don't want you to step, okay? I didn't ask you if you wanted to say something. Did you want to say anything? You sure? Okay. Go ahead, sit there. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer, okay? If you believe this, just say this with me. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He bore my sin, and he rose from the dead. And by faith, I will live for him for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, if you just hold your nose with one hand and hold your wrist with the other. Corey, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, and raised to newness of life. Jamie. Did you want to say anything, Jim? I got to remember to do that. Okay, you just want to sit down there, okay? I'm just going to lead you in a prayer like I did with them, okay? If you believe it, you just repeat after me, okay? God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I believe it with all my heart that he took my sin and my punishment and rose from the dead. And I thank you, Jesus, for being the Lord of my life. And with your help, I will live for you and fulfill your plan. In Jesus' name, amen. So just hold your nose with one hand, your wrist with the other one.
Jamie, upon your confession of faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, and raised to newness of life. Amen. Jamil. You guys are wondering, which one am I going to pick? Jamil, did you want to say anything first? You sure? Okay. Okay. If you believe, just say this after me if you believe it, okay? God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I believe he bore my sin and my punishment so I could be forgiven. From this day forward, with God's help, I will live for him, serve him, and fulfill his plan for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so hold your nose with one hand and this with the other. Jamil, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, and raised to newness of life. I almost didn't see you two there. Do you want to say anything, Lachey? No? Sit down. Okay. Is that too hot? No. All right. Just going to lead in this prayer. If you believe it, you just say this after me and mean it with all your heart. All right. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus is my Lord. I thank you he died for me, took my sin, my punishment, so I could be forgiven. And God, with your help, I will live for you and serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, hold your nose with one hand, your wrists with the other. Okay. Okay, Lachey, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, and raised to newness of life. Amen. Okay, did I get all the kids? I think I did. April, how about you next? Would you like to say anything? You sure? All right. And then we're going to go right down the row, all right? Somebody lost something from their hair. In a prayer like I did with everybody else, and if you believe, you just repeat that after me, okay? Okay. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus Christ died for my sin, took my punishment so that I could be forgiven. From this day forward, with God's help, I commit to live for him. Jesus is my Lord. He's risen from the dead, and he lives in my heart. And I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, if you just hold your nose with one hand, your wrist with the other one. Okay, April, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, and raised to newness of life. Did you want to say anything? No? All right. I guess we don't have any up-and-coming preachers yet. you that Jesus died for my sin. He took my punishment upon himself. And then rose again. I make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. I believe in all my heart that He's alive and well, that He lives in me. And with God's help, I will live for Him from this day forward. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Just hold your nose with one hand and your wrist with the other one. Okay, Annette, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, buried with Him in baptism, and raised to newness of life. Amen. Would you like to say anything, Kim? No? All right. Too warm? Okay. Is your watch okay with you? Okay. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. If you believe, you just repeat it after me, okay? God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus took my sin and the punishment for them upon Himself so that I could be forgiven, washed by His blood. I thank you, Father, that He's not only has died, but He's risen from the dead, and He lives in me. And with His help, from this day forward, I will live for Him and fulfill that plan that He has for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just hold your nose with one and wrist with the other. Okay, Kimberly, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, buried with Him in baptism, and raised to newness of life. Amen. Amen. Debbie? We do. Would you like to share anything, Debbie?
No.
No? All right.
It's high up here.
Yeah. Oh. You all right? Okay. Just turn right around and sit right down, okay? I'll just do as I've been doing. I'm just going to lead you in prayer. If you believe it, you just say that prayer after me and just mean it with all your heart, okay? You all right?
Yep.
Okay. Just pray this if you believe it. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He died for me, was punished for me so I could be forgiven. And now He's risen from the dead and He lives in me. And with His help, I will live for Him. From this day forward, in Jesus' name, amen. Just hold your nose with one hand and your wrist with the other one. Okay, Debbie, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, buried with Him in baptism, and raised to new life. Amen. Okay, Philip, are you ready? All right. Would you like to share anything first? What's that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. All right. He just said he's very glad to be baptized. Yeah, you can take those off. Yep. You don't have to swim. No, you got to stand up down here, turn around, and then sit down. Well, maybe, but it's not a matter of being saved, right? I told you that. So, well, you just believe God. You exercise your faith in that. Okay. Just sit right down behind you.
Okay.
I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and if you believe it, you just repeat that prayer after me, okay? God in heaven, you just repeat that if you believe it.
God in heaven,
I thank you,
that Jesus Christ
is my Lord and Savior. He died for my sins and took my punishment so that I might be forgiven. And he rose again. I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I believe with his help, from this day forward, I will live for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can you repeat that again?
Oh, I can't right now. Why don't you just hold your nose with one hand and your wrist with the other one. Okay. Philip, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, and raised to newness of life. You did it, brother. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Melvin, you want to be last? Is that... Okay. Brother David, would you like to say anything first?
I'd like to rededicate my life to Jesus and thank him for what he's done and leading me to this church. And I look forward to a new life with his new, all these blessings that have yet to come.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He died for my sin, took my punishment so I could be forgiven. I believe with all my heart that not only did he die, but he rose again and he lives in me and he empowers me to live for him. And by faith, from this day forward, I will live for him. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Just hold your wrist with the other hand, if you would. Okay, just hold your wrist there. All right, David, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, and raised to newness of life. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Melvin, did you want to share anything? How did I know you would?
But I just want to thank a couple of friends for coming out.
That's fine. That's good.
I just want to thank a couple of my friends for coming out. Jackie in the back, Jackie, Miller. Staying up, Jackie.
And now, don't embarrass your friends.
Dave and Marianne Austin.
Amen. Good praise God.
And I'm just proud to be a part of Abounding Grace and part of the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen. With me, God in heaven.
God in heaven.
I thank you.
I thank you.
That Jesus Christ, is my Lord and Savior.
My Lord and Savior.
He died for my sin.
He died for my sin.
Took my punishment. So I could be forgiven.
So I can be forgiven.
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
That I am forgiven.
That I am forgiven.
And I believe. That not only did he die.
But he rose again.
And now his life. Is in me. I thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
For setting me free.
For setting me free.
From the old me.
From the old me.
And giving me a new. A new life.
A new life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, just hold your nose with one, your wrist with the other hand. Hold your wrist with the other. You're anxious. All right. Melvin, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, and raised to newness of life. Amen, brother. Amen. Praise God. God's good. Amen. Amen. If the worship team come back up, we're just going to worship God. We'll dismiss the service in a moment here. Hallelujah. And if we could just... Maybe we could just sing that song, Crucified, the one you did, the one above all. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you all stand with me?
Above all power,
Jesus. Above all, hallelujah, Jesus.
Above all, all created things,
above all
wisdom and
all the praise of man, you was here before the world began. Above all, Jesus, above all thrones.
Hallelujah, Jesus. I'd just like us all to just be in a reverential attitude, have your heads bowed, eyes closed, just thinking about Jesus. And I wonder if there's anyone here today that you'd say, I'm not sure that I have received His forgiveness. I'm not sure that if I would breathe my last breath, I'm not sure if my heart would stop, if I had a heart attack, if I died in some way or another, I'm not sure that I'm in right relationship with God. I want to encourage you today that today's the day of salvation, that tomorrow and even later today could be too late. Today is the day that you need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. After having heard everything you've heard today, there'll never be any excuse. You'll never be able to tell God that you didn't know Him, how to come to Him, and how to be forgiven. And so, would you have, is there anyone that would have enough courage and enough guts to say, I don't care what anybody thinks, I want to make sure that I'm in right relationship with God, I want to make sure that I'm forgiven and that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Would you be so bold and have enough guts to lift your hand and let me pray with you today? Anybody at all, you're not sure, you need to be sure. And there's a way to be sure. It's not based on things you've done, it's not based on evil, sin, or it's not based on good works, it's based on faith in Jesus Christ. There's nothing that you've done so bad that His blood wasn't shed for, that you could be forgiven for. In the name of Jesus, anybody at all, you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and be absolutely sure that He is your Lord and Savior today? Anybody at all? Just have enough courage to just lift your hand. I want to pray with you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's say this together. God in heaven, I thank You that Jesus Christ, God's Son, did take my sin, bore my sin upon Himself, and took my punishment, took my judgment upon Himself so that I could be forgiven. And so today, I confess Jesus Christ to be my Lord. I believe with all my heart that He not only died, but He rose again and He's alive. And I ask Him to give me new life. I ask Him to forgive me today and to set me free. And I thank Him for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or one like it at all, I want to encourage you. I'm going to ask Pastor Brent, and is Linda still in here, Pastor Brent? I'm going to ask Pastor Brent. I'm going to ask Brother Mario if you two would come. If you need prayer before you leave, or if you prayed that prayer for the very, very first time, I'd like to come down and see either Pastor Brent or Brother Mario. They both are elders here, and just share that with them. Or again, if you need prayer before you leave, we don't want anybody to leave today without having received prayer today. Amen? We believe in the power of prayer, don't we? Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask the ushers, one of them or two of them actually, to either cover the baptismal or move the stairs away from it so our kids don't decide they're going to take a dip. And praise God. Amen. Pastor Brent, would you be able to close us today and close the service today in Jesus' name? Amen.
Praise God. What a great day, huh? Isn't God good? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this day of celebration. Father, we thank You for those that were water baptized today. And Lord, we commit them to Your grace today. Father, they walk in that newness of life. God, that they experience the resurrection power of Christ in their life. And God, that they go all out for You. And Father, we thank You for the body of Christ assembled here today. And Father, we thank You for Your mercy, Your kindness, Your love, and Your grace that walks with us, Lord, every single day. And Lord, we ask it in Christ's name, and all of God's people say, amen. God bless you as you go. Rock on in.